You know, imagine you're playing a massively complex, beautifully rendered video game.
Okay.
The physics engine feels totally flawless. The lighting is ray traced to perfection. But then you find this one highly specific spot on the map where the graphics just, glitch out.
Right, like the collision detection completely failed.
Exactly. The lighting breaks, the code collapses into this infinite loop. It's basically a fatal bug in the system. And when we look out into the cosmos, physical black holes feel a lot like those bugs.
They really do.
They are literal crash points in the physical universe's code, right? Places where gravity gets so intense that our standard everyday rules of physics just throw their hands up and stop working.
Which, I mean, forces a really uncomfortable realization for physicists.
Yeah.
We rely on the equations of general relativity to map the cosmos, and, they work beautifully almost everywhere. But at the center of a black hole, those equations just output infinity. The system breaks.
It totally breaks.
And that actually brings us to the core of the sources we are looking at today, which heavily feature something called CCTODE collapse dynamics.
Right, which sounds incredibly intimidating.
It does. It stands for coupled complex time ordinary differential equations. But in simpler terms, it's a highly advanced mathematical framework used to study how dynamic systems break down and collapse when pushed to their absolute limits.
And that perfectly sets up the mission for today's deep dive. We have this fascinating stack of sources, research papers, theoretical notes, observational models, and they all kind of circle this one mind-bending question,
Right.
which is, if the physical universe has these black holes, these gravitational crash points, does pure mathematics have them too?
Yeah.
And more importantly, could the abstract formulas we literally write on chalkboards actually be the blueprints for the physical black holes we observe out in deep space?
Well, to answer that, we have to look at a concept the sources call mathematical black holes. These are specific coordinates in pure mathematics where normal analytical rules just they collapse. By studying these mathematical singularities, the authors of our sources propose we aren't just, playing with abstract numbers in a
We're
vacuum.
doing something much bigger.
Exactly. We are looking at the underlying architecture of physical reality itself. We're looking at the foundational math that dictates how a black hole processes physical information.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because jumping from an abstract equation to a supermassive monster devouring light in the center of a galaxy, I mean, that requires a massive leap.
It does.
If we're going to test these theories using real telescopes and detectors later on, which is the goal, we first need to establish how a math equation physically resembles a collapsing star. Like, where is the structural mapping between the two?
So the sources lay this out with a direct one-to-one mapping. Let's start with the outer boundary. Think about a physical black hole's event horizon.
The point of no return.
Right. In mathematics, specifically when you're dealing with complex analysis, an infinite series or a function has what's called a radius of convergence.
Or radius of convergence. Okay.
Yeah. If you plug in values inside that radius, the math works perfectly. You get a sensible, finite answer. But the second you cross that boundary, the mathematical series stops making sense. It diverges to infinity.
Oh, wow. So that boundary is.
It is, for all intents and purposes, a mathematical event horizon.
That's wild. The math essentially draws a firm perimeter around a coordinate and says, information processing breaks down past this line.
Exactly. And then you push further inward. If you cross the event horizon of a physical black hole, general relativity predicts you will eventually hit the singularity.
The exact center.
Right, where the physical radius equals zero and space-time curvature just becomes infinite. The direct mathematical equivalent of that is called a pole, or an essential singularity.
Paul.
Yeah, it's a precise coordinate inside that radius of convergence where the function itself blows up to infinity. The structure is practically identical.
Okay, I want to visualize how these structures interact because usually we hear the classic rubber sheet analogy for gravity, which feels a bit tired here.
It definitely is.
So let's look at the three primary mathematical black holes identified in our sources: the Riemann zeta function, the gamma function, and the Lambert W function.
The big three.
Right. So instead of heavy bowling balls, could we think of zeta, gamma, and Lambert as, say, three primary colored lasers, like red, green, and blue?
I like where this is going.
So on their own, they are just pure abstract beams of math. But when you cross them perfectly, they project a fully rendered holographic image of a physical black hole into our universe.
That holographic projection analogy actually captures the mechanics perfectly.
Yeah.
Because these functions do not exist in isolation.
They interact.
Yes, they couple together, just like overlapping lasers. The sources detail specific mathematical bridges between them, labeled as the J-zeta-gamma coupling, the J-zeta-W coupling, and the J-gamma-W coupling. And the mathematical framework demonstrates that these functions are constantly seeking a minimum point, like a state of equilibrium in this abstract landscape where all three are perfectly balanced.
And when they hit that balance?
They project the exact thermodynamic properties of a physical black hole.
Okay, here is where I need to push back a little, or at least, you know, dig into the mechanism, because now we have to translate these pure math beams into physical property.
Right, the physics.
Let's start with the zeta function, which famously maps the distribution of prime numbers. Now, I understand that primes are the indivisible atoms of arithmetic, sure, but the sources map zeta directly to the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy.
Yes, they do.
How does a function that hunts for prime numbers dictate the literal information storage capacity of a black hole?
It's all about how both systems encode information at a fundamental level. So physical black holes encode information on their event horizon via the Bekenstein bound.
Remind us what that is.
It states that one bit of information takes up exactly four Planck areas on the surface of the black hole.
So it's a hard limit.
Exactly, a strict geometric limit. Now, in mathematics, the zeta function encodes the geometry of prime numbers through something called an Euler product.
Okay.
The Euler product basically demonstrates that you can build the entire landscape of integers using just the primes. When the sources map this to physics, the primes represent the fundamental, indivisible bits of space-time information.
Oh, I see.
Zeta is essentially the mathematical engine arranging those bits on the event horizon's surface.
So zeta provides the raw data storage, the bits themselves.
Exactly.
Then we bring in the second laser, the gamma function. Now, gamma is the mathematical generalization of factorials, right?
Right.
And we all know factorials map permutations. Like, if I have five books, five factorial tells me how many different ways I can arrange them on a shelf.
Yes, exactly.
But how does organizing books translate to a black hole's physics?
It translates perfectly to a concept called the partition function.
Okay, what's up?
In thermodynamics, a partition function represents the density of states. It describes all the possible statistical properties, vibrations, and microscopic configurations a system can have while still maintaining its overall macroscopic appearance.
So looking the same on the outside but shuffling on the inside.
Exactly. Think of a black hole's mass and spin as the bookshelf. The energetic microstates inside that black hole are the books.
Ah.
Because factorials literally count the number of ways you can arrange items, the gamma function becomes the exact mathematical tool needed to calculate the massive number of internal permutations, the microstates of the black hole.
That is wild. And that brings us to the bridge between them, I guess. Because if zeta handles the bits and gamma handles the permutations of those bits, how do they actually talk to each other?
Like the coupling.
Yeah, the sources mention something called the Barnes G function as the bridge for that J zeta gamma coupling.
Yes. The Barnes G function is a concept sometimes called a superfactorial.
A superfactorial.
Yeah, it's basically a factorial of factorials. Because when you calculate the thermodynamic entropy of a black hole, you are dealing with numbers so staggeringly large that standard math just fails.
It's just too much data.
Way too much. The Barnes G function scales the interaction between the primes of zeta and the permutations of gamma. It bridges the gap.
So it's not just a metaphor.
No, not at all. The algebraic interaction between primes and superfactorials literally generates the explicit thermodynamic formulas physicists use to calculate black hole entropy.
Okay, so we have the bits and we have their permutations. That leaves the third laser in our holographic projection, which is the Lambert W function.
Right.
Now, in pure math, Lambert W solves equations where a variable is trapped in both the base and the exponent.
Yes, it untangles them.
Right. So how does that abstract operation project onto the physical reality of a collapsed star?
Well, Lambert W governs the characteristic timescales and the exponential decay. See, a black hole isn't static. It slowly evaporates over billions of years by emitting Hawking radiation.
Right, it shrinks.
Exactly. And that evaporation process is an exponential decay curve. Because the Lambert W function specifically untangles variables locked in exponential relationships, it maps perfectly to the Hawking temperature.
Wow.
It dictates the exact duration it takes for the black hole to process its internal information and radiate it back out into the universe.
Okay, this is all fascinating. Mathematics describing physics on a chalkboard is elegant, but observational astronomy demands physical proof, right?
Always.
Are we just saying the math is merely describing the physics incredibly well, or are we saying the universe is fundamentally running these specific equations?
That's the big question.
Because if it's the latter, we should be able to point a telescope or a detector at the sky and literally see zeta, gamma, and Lambert pulling the strings.
And we can test it. This is where the sources move from theoretical mapping to hardcore observational physics.
Okay, how?
To find the proof, we have to observe what happens when a physical black hole is violently disturbed. The prime example of this is a binary black hole merger.
Right, two massive black holes crashing into each other.
Exactly. They spiral toward each other and collide. And the moment they merge, they form a single, highly distorted, asymmetrical black hole.
But it can't stay that way, right?
No. The laws of physics force it to settle down into a perfect, smooth sphere.
I picture that like hitting a massive bell with a sledgehammer. Like, it deforms violently for a split second, and then it has to vibrate, it has to ring out until the energy dissipates and it returns to its normal resting shape.
That is the perfect analogy. The physics community actually calls that ringing process quasi-normal modes, or the ring-down phase.
The ring-down phase.
Yeah. As the disordered black hole settles, it sheds that excess energy by emitting gravitational waves. These waves ripple out through the fabric of space-time at very specific, complex frequencies.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah, the sources explicitly connect the exact frequencies of that ring down to the J-gamma-W coupling.
The mathematical bridge between the gamma and Lambert functions. Okay, so if I am a scientist sitting at the control desk for LIGO, you know, the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, and I'm watching a merger signal come across my screen, what am I actually looking for?
You're looking at the wave.
Right. But how do gamma and Lambert actually show up in that waveform?
You are looking at the decay rate and the pitch of the wave. The gamma function dictates the wave functions in curved spacetime. It literally gives the physical gravitational waves its underlying shape.
Okay.
And simultaneously, the Lambert W function solves the characteristic equation of the system's decay. It dictates exactly how fast the wave damps down to zero.
So they're working together.
Yes. The mathematical coupling between them predicts highly specific modifications to the ring down frequencies. If you're looking at that data, you wouldn't just be looking at a collision. You would literally be watching the universe calculate a Lambert W function in real time.
Written in the medium of gravitational waves. That completely flips the perspective. Like, instead of using LIGO as a giant microphone just to hear two dense rocks smashing together, we are using LIGO to read the readout of a cosmic calculator.
That's a great way to put it.
If we analyze the exact frequencies of that ring down, and we find the specific signatures of gamma and Lambert embedded in the wave, we prove that those mathematical functions are hard-coded into the universe's physics engine.
We absolutely confirm that the mathematical singularities are the structural foundation of the physical ones. And the crazy part is, the observational testing doesn't stop with gravitational waves.
Oh, right. Really? There's more.
Oh, yeah. The theoretical framework also makes highly specific predictions that can be tested using the Event Horizon Telescope.
The global array of radio telescopes that captured the first direct image of a black hole.
That's the one.
Okay, so we've covered the gamma-Lambert coupling with LIGO. What mathematical bridge are we testing with the Event Horizon Telescope?
With the EHT, we are looking for the physical shadow of the JZW coupling.
Okay, so the interaction between the prime numbers of the zeta function and the exponential decay of the Lambert W function.
Exactly. The sources predict that this coupling will manifest physically as highly specific oscillations in something called gray body factors.
Okay, let's break down gray body factors for the listener. Because if a black hole is emitting Hawking radiation as it evaporates, I usually imagine that radiation as like a smooth, continuous spectrum of heat.
Right, like the thermal glow coming off a hot stove.
Yeah.
In a simplified model, it would be a smooth thermal curve.
Right.
But a black hole is surrounded by an immensely powerful gravitational potential well.
Right.
As the Hawking radiation tries to escape the event horizon, that gravitational well acts as a quantum filter. It traps certain frequencies of radiation and allows others to pass through into deep space. That filtering effect, which modifies the spectrum from a perfect thermal curve into something much more complex, that is the gray body factor.
And the zeta-Lambert coupling actively alters how that quantum filter operates.
it creates a distinct signature within it. The mathematical interaction between the discrete prime number distribution of Zeta,
the bits, yeah,
and the timescale inversions of Lambert. It predicts that the filtering won't just be a smooth attenuation. It predicts distinct, measurable oscillations in the Hawking radiation spectrum.
So it's not a smooth curve at all.
No, the radiation will pulse with a specific mathematical heartbeat. If we can measure the emission spectrum of a black hole with enough precision, we can look for those exact oscillatory patterns.
We are essentially hunting for the echoes of prime numbers and logarithms bouncing through the event horizon.
Yeah.
It's just staggering to think about. I mean, we aren't just staring at random noise or chaotic stellar collisions. We know exactly what magnitude of effect to look for because the theoretical framework has already derived the explicit coupling constants.
We know how strongly Zeta couples to Lambert.
Exactly. Which takes this entire conversation out of the realm of abstract philosophy. When you have explicit coupling constants, you have testable predictions. We know the exact shape of the crash in the code. We can look at the experimental data from LIGO and the Event Horizon Telescope and search for the direct physical manifestations of these pure mathematical functions.
Bridging the absolute extremes.
Yeah. Let's take a step back and look at the ground we've covered because the scale of this is immense.
Yeah, it really is.
We started with absolute abstractions, pure mathematical singularities. The Riemann zeta function mapping the geometry of prime numbers, the gamma function calculating infinite permutations, the Lambert W function untangling complex exponents.
We visualize them as overlapping lasers projecting a holographic framework.
Right. The foundational mathematical black holes. And from there, we traced their shadows directly onto the physical universe.
Yeah.
Zeta acts as the fundamental bits of information on the event horizon. Gamma dictates the internal thermodynamic microstates and vibrations. Lambert controls the evaporation timescales and temperature.
The complete anatomy of the black hole.
Exactly. And finally, we established how you, sitting at a data terminal today, can actually test this. You can point LIGO at a merging binary pair, capture the gravitational ring down, and literally hunt for the exact decay frequencies dictated by gamma and Lambert.
It bridges the ultimate gap between the theoretical chalkboards of mathematics and the observational reality of astrophysics.
Which brings us to the ultimate so what for you, the listener. Because beyond the technical achievements, why does it actually matter that abstract mathematical functions perfectly couple together to describe the darkest objects in space?
I think it matters because it fundamentally challenges our relationship with mathematics.
How so?
Well, historically, humanity has treated math as a descriptive language, right? We invented a tool to quantify the physical phenomena we observed around us. We see a rock fall, we invent a formula to describe it.
Sure.
But this framework suggests the relationship goes the other way. If abstract mathematical singularities concepts deduced purely through logic, without any physical observation at all, if they perfectly govern the extreme physical dynamics of black holes.
It implies the universe isn't just described by math.
It implies the physical universe is math.
Mm.
The cosmos is physically rendering the code we are only just now discovering.
Math isn't the paint we use to draw the universe. It's the canvas itself.
Beautifully said.
And that leaves me with one final kind of unresolved thread from the sources to chew on. Throughout this deep dive, we've noted that these mathematical functions are constantly coupling together, seeking a minimum point, seeking balance in a lost landscape to resolve uncertainty.
Right. They are continuously optimizing.
Continuously optimizing. So if mathematical singularities perfectly govern physical black holes, and the math shows these systems are constantly seeking a minimum lost landscape to optimize data, could black holes actually be the universe's ultimate computation engines? If black holes are the bugs in the physical code, maybe they aren't crashes at all. Maybe they are the processors.
That's a profound way to look at it.
And if so, what exactly is the universe trying to calculate inside that event horizon?